right. BA started up. Let's go to a show where we're rocking all night. I got an army, wanna party with 30 extra guys from the dusk to dawn till our minds are gone. Hang out with hangovers and hit up a con. Houston, Texas, are you feeling the love from a giant rocket ship coming down from above? Well,
Space City Nerd.
Don't you know, well,
Space City Nerd.
That's right, we're the kings and the queens of the things that you deem absurd. Sing it with me, y'all.
Space City Nerd.
All right, nerdcore.
Got that.
Chip tune.
Got that.
Read the magazine to check out the podcast. Action figures.
Got that.
Board games.
Got that.
TV shows and video games. Yeah, we got that. Take flight on a broken satellite. All right.
Hello, and welcome to the Space City Nerd Podcast. I think we're on number 81 or 82 or 83. One of those, low 80s. Let's do that. Jesus, as always, and with me tonight, we have Rex.
Hey, you guys.
Ryan.
Hey, guys.
And we ended up turning Sean into a female tonight. Hello, Shanita.
Hi.
Just kidding.
Nah.
That's Katie. How are you doing, Katie?
I'm good. You know, tired, work, stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Same shit.
Anyways.
I'm talking like this because I did the Kylie Jenner challenge.
Are those like when you do that? Is that permanent?
I hope not.
Yeah, that would be really bad if that was permanent.
It is now.
No,
I ruined the lives of millions of teenage girls.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, what is this? What's going on? I mean, just imagine, like, in the future, there's going to be, like, all these, like, 30-year-olds, like, with huge lips, and they're like, what happened to you?
You scarred your lips. It's because of Kylie Jenner.
Oh, man. It's like, I pulled up the Kylie Jenner Challenge hashtag on Facebook, and all the articles, it's... Sounds like a new version of, like, the choking game from, like, 5 or 10 years ago.
What?
Like... Yeah, that people were freaking out about it just like that, and it's so funny to me.
Last weekend, we tried the Kylie Jenner result. You know, if you want to see the results, go to our Twitter. No. We should do that. No.
We should.
It's horrible.
No, why not? Wait, what do we exactly have to do? I don't want to be choked.
You have to suck your lips into a...
Shot glass.
And then keep it there until your lips swell up. And then pull it out, and you have really fat lips and mostly swollen face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a bunch of, like, really young girls doing it.
So.
Oh, man. So, we're all adults here. What is everybody drinking tonight?
Water?
Yeah, I'm also drinking water right now. I might get a beer, like, during the second part of the podcast, but I only have one left, so.
Aww.
I'm drinking a bottle of Takatsuru 12 with Topo Chico.
Ooh.
You and your Japanese whiskeys.
And Mexican water. it's fusion, like fusion cuisine. It's fusion drink. Mexican sparkling water, Japanese whiskey.
I'm drinking what I call the student loan debt problem in America. It's called Dream Crusher Double IPA. It's very good and delicious.
But it's a crush of dreams. It's actually uplifting your dreams, right?
Mm-hmm. For a few moments, and then after that, it's right back to it. So speaking of your Japanesey stuff, Ryan, I know you went to the Japanese festival one. I ended up going on Sunday. How was it on Saturday for you?
So a lot of people thought that it was going to get canceled because of the rain, and I couldn't go Sunday, and I really wanted to go. It was a little muddy, well, a lot muddy, but it wasn't it wasn't bad. My goal there was to eat Japanese festival food, which is like fish balls and chicken on a stick, and sometimes
ramen
curry.
And
I am not
ramen. Some sake.
Yeah, but the weird thing was, I said hi to one of my friends who's a cosplay photographer, and when my wife and I tried to turn around and leave, the cosplay parade cut us off, and I'm like, ah, great, now I can't walk through. But then we had I don't know what this woman is dressed as, but she is wearing like a really heavy outfit, so she was walking really slowly, so we made our break for it.
I went Sunday, and honestly, so on my way up there, there was an A major accident, so it was like an hour and a half in traffic. And then I got there, and I'm like, where are we going to find parking? So we went to one of the parking garages, and there was probably an hour wait to get to a parking spot inside of the parking garage. And so I was like, man, this sucks. So by the time we got there, it was 2:30. It closed at 5. So we went over there, had something to eat real quick. I felt so sneakerish because, like, I did not want to get my shoes muddy because I had, like, my nice shoes on.
Really?
My nice kicks. And so I was, like, avoiding all the puddles and stuff. And then, let's see what we met up with Johnny Hackenslash. More on that in a little bit. And we, yeah, like I said, we ate food. We said hello to the Loyal KNG guys and walked around for just a little bit and then just we left after that.
I wore my camping boots, which was, it's like nature proof. So whatever, I didn't care. So I was walking through everything. And it was pretty fun. It started raining around 5. That's when we left on Saturday, and it's 7. Right before we left, first there was the cosplay contest. We didn't really watch it, but the winner of, I don't know exactly what they wore, but the winner, I think, is a girl, and she won a, she was dressed as a cross play of Queen Serenity as King Serenity. So it's a girl,
double cross, a girl who cross played
as King Serenity. So I'm like, all right, whatever.
They had a king, but okay.
But they're not King Endymion, whatever his name is.
End or something.
Yeah, Tuxedo Mask. But she won like a ticket to Japan, which is it was pretty cool. Yeah,
that's really neat.
Yeah, the winner of the cosplay contest gets to represent all of America in Japan.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know what's funny is the first thing that happened when I walked up to the Japan Festival is I did see someone in cosplay, and it was Michael Myers.
Like, I saw that picture and I was really
applaud
upset.
That guy.
I was like, why are you this? And then there was a guy walking around dressed up as Morpheus. And he had one of those clip-on speakers playing, like, the Matrix soundtrack. And I'm like, no.
That's not Japanese.
So
like...
here's my thing, though. And I was very, very vocal about it. Not on the podcast, but to all my friends. And I really... Bless you. I don't like when people cosplay a Japanese festival. It's not a con. If you're going to dress up, wear a yukata... Where don't treat it like a con, please. Just treat it. Go there, go do the weird Japanese fishing thing.
If they do like the traditional dress,
yes.
That's what you do, but don't.
Exactly.
You have to treat it exactly like you would St. Patrick's Day and dress up as a leprechaun.
Yeah.
Right? I sound horrible. And I don't want to tell people what to do. Just I don't. Expect it to be a con. I don't want it to be a con. It's a Japanese festival. The reason I started going there is when I was studying Japanese in college, and then our teacher was like, you should go to this one. I'm performing. And I'm like, that's awesome. And back then, no one was cosplaying. We just went there, went to a tea ceremony. It was cool. Ate some Japanese festival food, and then watched taiko drums and traditional Japanese singing, and it was awesome. I also met the inventor of Sudoku like a couple of years ago. That was awesome.
That's so funny. But to me, for some reason,
I met a Sudoku. Of course, you did.
also met a Gexa pilot. Is it Gexa?
JAXA
pilot and a Japanese astronaut, and I asked him if he piloted a Gundam, and he laughed at me.
Yeah, I was about to ask, is that some kind of Gundam?
Yeah.
Gundam,
I was like, hey,
realized Gundam pilot?
I was like, are you Gundam? He was like, ha ha ha. And then he high-fived me, which was kind of cool.
He probably just didn't understand you.
Yeah.
Well, he probably knew what Gundam was. It's like the Star Wars.
Yeah, he was like, ha, ha, ha.
Like, I don't know if you know this, but every single, like, Japanese person does watch anime and is a weeaboo, so.
Yes.
Well,
you can't call Japanese
TV,
people weeaboo.
Their
because
show
they're,
is shit.
By definition, they're not weeaboo.
Yeah.
They're Japanese.
They're just doing it every day.
No, here's the thing. What do you think about the Lolita community? Do they have more place there than the cosplayers, or are they in the same category?
Because Lolita is a cosplay. They cosplay Lolita in Japan. That's where they go to that one bridge. That's where all the Lolitas hang out.
The Lolita Bridge?
Yeah, it's that Harajuku Bridge where they all go.
But I don't think it's actually cosplaying a Lolita. Like, they actually have to have a certain discipline to become, to be considered, like, actual Lolita.
You must defeat 5 Lolitas in a battle.
And then you have to fight Nabokov himself.
Yes! He rises from the dead.
Yeah, but how do you get away with being a Lolita without looking ridiculous?
If you're cute and tiny.
Yeah. That's the thing about it.
That's about it.
Yeah, you gotta be cute and tiny.
It was funny. I did hear, like, I saw someone posing for cosplay photography, and these, like, 5, like, I think they were, like, 13, 14-year-old girls, like, dressed up as Attack on Titan scouts.
Mm-hmm.
They were screaming at the person that they were photographing to, please do something kawaii desu.
Ah.
Wow.
Okay, so that's why you can't allow it, yeah.
Also, there was this guy who has a sword, the Attack on Titan swords in his hand, and wearing the cape, but everything else he was wearing jeans and an anime T-shirt.
Like the Buster sword from Attack on Titan.
Yeah, the thing that looks like a box cutter.
Yeah,
the box cutter.
Yeah. No, I said Buster sword. It was a bad joke.
Oh, sorry.
I
looked at that guy. I'm like, come on. First of all, don't do that. It's not a con. Second of all, if you're gonna cosplay, put effort into it, and just, I'm gonna put my cape on.
Well, no. They sell those capes and jackets at Hot Topic now.
Oh, they do? Yeah, they're hoodies too, because like the guy at Walgreens and I checked out was like, he had a Attack on Titan hoodie.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say like the cape, like he was at work.
That would have been so good.
I thought he had the cape on because from behind, you know, he's this tall, scrawny kid. And it had one of the symbols of whatever the Rangers are on the back. And I was like, is he wearing a cape?
No, and I mean, it's like, we're all up for doing whatever you want to do. But try to be culturally sensitive at times. Yeah.
Thank you. I think that's it.
When it's not your culture.
Yes, because I'm not going to go to the Greek festival and dress up as a Ghostbuster and... You know,
I was planning you guys are talking about Greek people.
I thought you were gonna say like, I'm not gonna go to like the Greek festival and dress up as like someone from 300.
Yeah, 300. Yeah, like this is Sparta. I want some hummus. I'm not gonna do that.
But no, you should do that. That's very Greek.
You know, like this is not hummus, and I kick him down a hole. I don't. I like hummus, by the way. I really do.
I like hummus too. Oh, that's why I got excited that you would be demanding
Greek
it.
I like Greek everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, speaking of, like, you know, the people that were there, Johnny Hackenslash, like I mentioned before, was actually there, and I was like, hey, Johnny, and whatever, and we started talking, and then we approached an individual that looked very, at first, we thought he was very cultural and respectful of what was going on, and so we decided to interview him. These are the results, and take a listen for yourself.
I'm at the Japanese festival in Houston, and I ran into Johnny Hackenslash, so
yo.
He's going to help me run this interview. We found an interesting-looking gentleman. Looks like he's very tied into the Japanese culture, and we're
going
to go ahead and talk to him about it. Hey, can you introduce yourself?
My name is Josh, but you can call me Akira-kun.
Akira-kun.
Okay, Josh.
Hi.
So, I like your... Is this like a traditional samurai outfit that you have on?
No, actually, it's an outfit from a character in this anime called Bleach. But, you know, it's really popular.
Oh, okay. So, are you enjoying the Japanese festival?
Oh, it's more than I can hope for. It's got all the things Japanese.
Is this what you live for, or...?
No, this is pretty. This is like Japan, but like not having to go to Japan because it's expensive.
Do you ever plan on going to Japan?
Yeah, I gotta save up some money and I'm gonna stay at those ryokans and I'm gonna go. The Japanese people are like spiritually my people.
So, have you eaten anything here?
yeah, you know, I just eat the things that, you know, a normal Japanese person eats, like, you know, the pocky, and I like drinking that Ramune. It's like a little sweet, but I know I get used to it because I need to assimilate.
Have you found that the Japanese fusion food here is a combination of the cultures or offensive because something touched your Japanese food?
I think he's wrong because it's just tainting the it's like the original intent of this. It ruins the taste.
So are you interested in any of the like musical performers or anything going on right now?
It seems like it's a lot more old stuff, you know. I want some of that electro stuff, you know, that you hear in those animes. And like Gak, you know, and there's like those guys with like the pretty guys with the big hair, that look like hardcore, but they sing really sweet.
Is that pretty hair of yours? Is that a wig, or are you trying to style it after them?
No, I'm trying to emulate them because I really want to fit in when I get to Japan one day. You know, I wanna you know, embody it.
Did you go to Mitsuri this year?
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, it's like seeing my kind all over the place. It was, you know, there's some people that, like, they dress up and they think they're cool, but they're not good at it. So, you know, but you gotta, it's okay because they're trying, you know, they're trying to get into it. But, you know, it's really hard to be in my level where you're into it so much, you know, because you are part of it. It is your life. That's my life.
Now, do you still feel that it's cosplay, or is it so serious you've evolved into cos life at this point?
I think that's the right way to call it, because I don't think it's playing around, because it's, you know, I'm pretty serious about it. I want people to take me seriously, and it's just exactly how I feel like my the direction of my life is going.
What do you think, like, in Japan, everybody's walking around in cosplay?
It's not cosplay. That's normal clothes to them, man. You know, I mean, I don't, I'm feeling kind of, you're, like, getting a little hostile about this.
No, we're just trying to find out through you the Japanese culture.
I'm sorry. I it's time. I gotta go to the tear ceremony, because it's, you know, it's what they do every day. That's how they... The women, like, treat their men.
After that, the dude just kind of walked away, and John and I were just kind of laughing the whole time. We tried to get, like, a more serious rebuttal from the Japanese consulate, but they were too busy with political matters to even talk to us.
Yeah.
So that was Japan Festival.
I like it. It's cool. And you know what the reason why? Because Houston's sister city, Chiba, is the that's why they have it, and that's why they have it near the Japanese gardens. Because one of the lanterns was actually donated by our sister city. I don't know what we donated to Japan though.
American flag,
statue of Sam Houston. Yeah, see from that. Barbecue,
a McDonald's,
stones.
Yeah, you're right. So we can go to Japan, go to Chiba, and be like, "Yep, Houston, you just gave some seats to the Astrodome."
Oh man. So moving along, there were a couple of movie-related things coming on. I know last week we exploded with a lot of trailers and stuff, but right after we released the show, everybody else decided to release some trailers. Okay, we're going to discuss quickly the Super Star Wars. Sorry, not the Super Star Wars, which is a good game, but the Force Awakens trailer, Superman, Batman, the new Fantastic Four, Jurassic World, and it's not technically a trailer, but I still consider it David Hasselhoff's True Survivor for Kung Fury. Real quick, roundtable. Rex, which of those was probably your favorite trailer?
Even though it wasn't a trailer, the David Hasselhoff one was definitely my favorite. That being said, I have watched the Star Wars one multiple times every day since it came out, and I'm really, really excited about that movie.
Katie, which is your least favorite of them?
Least favorite? Probably the Superman versus Batman, or Batman versus Superman.
Ryan? Which one gave you the hardest erection?
Star Wars. Well. Not that. If we're not going to do Survivor, because True Survivor, I halfway through I had to pause because I can only get so erect. But barring that, Star Wars made me. This is going to sound horrible because I was just talking about having an erection, but made me feel like a kid again.
God, damn it. I'm young again.
Yeah, it's like I'm like, oh my god, because I'm a big fan of the space battles. I love X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. I love
game was amazing.
Yeah, hell yeah! And then they have like great shots of the X-Wing and the TIE Fighter and the Super Stormtrooper or Commando thing. Not Stormtrooper, the First Order Trooper.
There you go.
That's what they're called. A toy leaked what their name were. They're called the First Order.
Huh. Note real quick. Since you like space battles and all that, the Humble Bundle for one more week added Wing Commander stuff on there.
What?
I like the old ones with Mark Hamill like doing live action cutscenes and everything.
Yeah, you can do really, really bad and then send him to a life of drinking.
Yep.
I think for mine, I'm gonna have to say Star Wars, barely by a hair over Kung Fury, just because the trailer for Star Wars was amazing. It's a great payoff, because I don't even consider 1, 2, and 3 part of canon.
Yeah, those were neither.
But it was a great trailer. I've watched it again multiple times. Like different resolutions under different speakers and monitors, just kind of like
watch on different devices.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which device does that work?
Like I'm gonna go put it on a USB drive and go to like Fry's and hijack their like giant 4K thing.
That's a really good
the demo
idea.
Room. Well, we should just go do that.
Oh, we should just put a bunch of trailers on and then go demo.
Yeah, we should do that. But it edged it out. In my opinion, I'm not looking forward to the Superman Batman movie.
No.
It looks so bad. Like, I'm just going to put it out. It looks really bad. I'm not a fan of Zack Snyder, and I'm not a fan of how, like, after The Dark Knight was such a success, everything that DC does has to be, like, really super grim, dark, and edgy, and just,
or
like,
terrible.
Really. Yeah, and that too.
I didn't like the new Batmans. I did not like them.
Yeah, I liked The Dark Knight. I hated Batman Begins, and didn't even watch the third one.
I watched, I saw like this really funny comment that I was like, man, that really makes sense. Someone was like, wow, I didn't know the Batman Superman movie was filmed using a miner's helmet.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's so dark.
Batman's outfit looks so stupid too. Like, I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know if
who's playing Batman again?
Ben Affleck, which honestly I think is, I'm cool with Ben Affleck playing Batman. Like,
that's not okay. His outfit, I don't think, is dope. It's one of the better parts of that trailer.
Silly. Yeah, I actually like the Batman's outfit. It looks more like the Frank Miller-ist kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Wait, are you talking about the Iron Man one?
Yeah, I'm talking about the Iron Man one.
Okay.
Well, no, that's part of the comic storyline, though.
I thought we were talking about Batman.
Yeah, he has his bat mech suit.
Yeah, and it looks really dumb.
I'm gonna have to disagree because I mean, yeah, it looks bulky, but I think it's supposed to be. It is harkening back to the Dark Knight, the Frank Miller's run, and I'm okay. Batman was the least awful out of all of the entire trailer, I think.
I guess. I don't know.
It just looks so bad.
Yeah, they already went to the whole, like, because they, like, even in Superman Returns, they were like, hammering you with a Jesus imagery.
That's the thing. The DC films, they crucify their heroes way too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, come on. I was like, they're not even subtle with it.
Yeah, no, they're not subtle with it at all. They're pushing it, like, they're trying to push it in such a mature kind of direction that they lose track of what a mature storyline actually entails, and they just try and shove it so full of like edgy imagery and like grim darkness, like I said, and it just is stupid.
Yeah.
It's really stupid.
Jurassic World also came out with a new trailer. I don't know why, but I'm not. I mean, I'm gonna watch the movie, but I'm like, okay, that's cool.
I'm excited for it.
Bros, man.
It kind of goes back to the look, you know, the kind of monster, the creepy, sneaky monster movies like Alien, Thing, original Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, so it has that suspense, and plus the stakes are way higher because unlike the Jurassic Park, when there's like, what, 10 people on the island, it's like 20,000 people.
Yeah, it's
like a whole park.
But I mean, it's like Jurassic Park 3 did the same thing when they came to the city, or Jurassic Park 2 in Lost World.
Yeah. That was only like there for like, I don't know, 30 minutes before they got right back on the boat.
They made a new dinosaur. We don't know.
But the dinosaur is just a bigger version of a T-Rex as a raptor.
It's got a scuttlefish in it.
Yeah. But it's like, okay, so the first movie also had that, oh my God, it's coming for us. And you knew it was a T-Rex, but it was still had that. That allure and atmosphere of like spooky,
before the,
you know.
Yeah, well, we don't know that yet. It's just a trailer.
I've already seen the dinosaur. It doesn't look.
And one of the rats really is humid eyes, and his name is Charlie.
Well, we don't know. I'm not gonna make that judgment until we watch the movie. The two trailers had a two completely different tone to them. The first one was like, "Hey, look, cool,
hey, it's and a park." And then the second one was like, "Oh shit, dinosaurs are free."
Yeah, and the dinosaurs are gonna eat me, and
there's thousands of people here. Oh God,
it's gonna get eaten, and
those one dinosaurs killing all the cool like
edgy. They should be edgy and kill one of those two kids.
Should.
Like, dinosaurs just eat them. It's like hump, and then you'd be like, and then you'd
also
be like,
that pterodactyl just picked the lady up and flew off with her.
Yeah, that's horrible. But then again, I was like, I should just turn around and shoot them and then rocket pack back down. Like
I was going to say, it's like I've been numbed to dinosaurs because I've been playing so much Orion Dino Hunter.
And also, I just was thinking about it. I haven't seen Jurassic Park 2 since it came out. All I remember about that movie is it being muddy and everything. Has that aged well at all? Like, has anybody watched it semi
recently? I have recently, and it's, you know, they have all aged fairly decently.
I've watched the original Jurassic Park in the past year, and I think that aged well. I mean,
I've watched the original recently, but
yeah, because it was a mix of practical effects and computer animation, which it aged well.
Yeah,
unlike Spider-Man 1, when you can tell that Spider-Man's not real and didn't age very well.
Well, those movies were
the big surprise for me was the Fantastic Four trailer.
Yep, I agree.
It actually looks good.
Yeah,
I might
like it
go
does.
See that.
They
I
don't
wasn't
have
expecting to feel
Captain
that way.
America playing the Human Torch.
They have the Captain Chronicle.
It really looks like they took a cue from all the modern sci-fi like Interstellar and Oblivion and stuff and made something out of it.
And it's a lot cooler this way. Like guys like muck kids, where are they?
Also, like going back kind of to Batman and Superman and comparing it with Fantastic Four, like something that Marvel's movies have done really successfully, but I feel like DC hasn't really been able to capture, but they try so hard with their quote-unquote, like, mature, edgy storylines. Fantastic Four just felt, like, really epic in scale, and Marvel's movies in general do such a good job of feeling really epic without getting, like, dark and gritty like DC's doing in a sad attempt to be epic, and I wasn't expecting Fantastic Four to feel that epic.
I don't like.
What do you think about the Thing having no pants?
It made so much more sense than when the Thing had pants. Like, why would he? Why would he even need pants in the
why
first?
Why would
place?
You even
like,
need those?
You're a rock pants? Man.
Yeah.
Does he have rock man things? I mean,
I hope we do get a oh look the Thing's Thing joke somewhere in there.
Is that your thing?
It's rock hard.
It's always
rocks.
Rock hard.
And then of course, True Survivor. Oh, like I said, it's not really a trailer, but it's reminding us of Kung Fury's existence because we haven't heard a lot of it.
Yeah.
I honestly completely forgot it was going to, it was a thing that existed until, like, I saw that.
That's classic. Like,
oh, hey, Kung Fury's still around. It's been an exciting year for stuff like that, though. There's been so much going on with, like, B-movies and everything that it's easy to forget that things come out. I forgot about The Neighbors, like, Tommy Wiseau's new one, too, until that just, like, randomly showed up on Hulu.
Well, if you haven't seen anything about Kung Fury, it's a, I think it's a Swedish movie that
they're
and not Swedish like in Be Kind Rewind where they make Swedish versions, but it's actually from Sweden. It's a homage to everything 80s, like packed in, including time travel and Hitler and very reminiscent of Danger 5 now that I see it.
Yeah, because I watch all of season 2 of Danger 5, so it's hard to divorce that from my head, but I mean, it's still on its own looks really good.
Exactly. And if you haven't seen Danger 5, we highly recommend, or myself and Ryan highly recommend.
Yes. I recommend you to sit down. And you'll get that joke when you watch it. It looks like Kung Fury is going to be released at the Cannes Film Festival in May. So let's all go to Cannes, everyone. And
I heard we got invited, you know.
Yeah, maybe we can get some press badges.
To Cannes? Yeah. Let's go to France, everyone.
What if we can get the Cannes for BetaCon? Like the Cannes from Cannes that they named it after.
The Cannes Film Festival, just a bunch of cans who are just staring at it. That's all.
Hey, Ryan. Ryan.
What up?
We have Daft Punk helmets. I'm thinking if we can wear them, we can sneak into the Cannes Festival.
They won't know.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we're forgetting one thing. We got to get to France somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you wear the Daft Punk helmets to the airport, and you're like, hey, it's us, Daft Punk. We need to get to France like immediately. And then they put you in first class.
My name is Thomas. You know, and then here's my associate Guy Manuel. We demand tickets to first class to France.
We demand tickets to France.
Yes. Do you still use the Concorde jet? Can you fire that up for us?
Oh man!
On a private jet or something.
Yeah.
Look for adventures as Daft Punk as we try to get into Cannes soon.
One more time.
The first episode of just you guys getting to France.
And then after we're back,
leaving and not being able to get on anywhere.
And then when we're back, everyone was like, "Hey, where'd you go?" And we were like, "Around the world."
Make a joke. Make the best joke you can make.
All right, on that note, we're going to go ahead and take our first music break. We have a very special guest today. You may not know him. He's the, I guess, behind-the-scenes guy from a lot of Nerdcore and the Nerdcore community's production. And he just released an album. This is Lal, L-A-L, which I like to troll him and say, oh, look, I like that song, LOL. But anyways, L-A-L featuring Natalie Major. We're going to return with DJ Roborob after this and to talk about his project Solaris and other stuff. So we'll be right back. So that was the track LOL featuring Natalie Major by...
Shut up.
I told you you hated that. It's LAL featuring Natalie... Is that how you say it?
LOL.
LOL. Like L-U-L-Z.
Oh. L-A-L.
Okay. LOL featuring Natalie Major off DJ Roll Rob's new album, Solaris Part 3, part of a two-year-long journey that he's had. You can find that at djroborob.bandcamp.com. And speaking of DJ Roborob, we have him now on the Skype line thingy to do interviews. So, Rob, as I mentioned, this was a two-year journey for you to do Solaris. Please tell us the entire basis of Solaris.
Sure. So...
Oh, hello, hello, Roborob. I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, hello. Hello.
You sound familiar. Do you have a degree in space stuff?
Only when I drink a lot of vodka.
Oh, okay. So anyways, yes, tell us about Solaris.
Basically, it started about 3 years ago when I decided that I wanted to make a front-to-back astral mix based off the Milky Way and the planets. And then I also had a track about, like, a bunch of tracks about Earth and a track about the moon and the asteroid belt. All the tracks are inspired by one planet or another. And they're kind of, their names are based off of those things. Like the track that starts off the entire mix, for all the tracks. In its entirety, is called 88 Days, which is based off of Mercury, because it takes 88 days for Mercury to revolve around the sun one time.
Mm-hmm.
And like the next track is based off of Venus, which is called Cytherion. There's a mythology, like Greek mythology, behind it. She was related to Venus, God Venus, and just it kind of dives into it. And I wanted to kind of pique people's imagination and like maybe their curiosity, like, well, why are these tracks named this after this particular planet? And there's a bunch about Earth, LOL, the one that we just heard. That one's more about like love and loss, and Death and Desire is another track. I did a remix of Schaefer the Dark Lord's track, This City, which kind of speaks for itself. Like, the track talks about, like, being trapped inside of Earth cities, not being able to get out, not being able to get away. Modulification, hard one to say, based off of, it samples old Charlie Chaplin's beat from the speech from the Dictator. I don't know. So it's like such a good speech and such a good movie. And I wanted to like capture, like essence of like being an ex-military soldier myself, like the horror that you have to go through and not realizing that, these people that are dictating your lives, like they don't care about you. They don't care about you at all. They just want you to fight for them to make them more money. So, like, I really wanted to encompass a lot of that. And then, like, it goes to a track based off of the moon, which is called Never Going Back, which...
I thought it was going to be called Betacon, but...
Well, working on it. Working on
getting... Maybe that's our official anthem for Betacon is, Never Going Back.
For the fact that we are going back. But, that was, like... It was kind of satirical, right? Because, like, we went to the moon in the 1960s and we haven't gone back yet. Like, what the hell?
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, why haven't we gone back? I kind of wanted to, like, and all of these tracks are, like, some of them are a little more emotional than others, a little more melodic. Some of them are just really, like, in your face, and I wanted to, like, get that side of exploration into my music. There's one thing that I did with every single track. And I put vocal cuts of some sort in every single track on all three albums. I wanted to get that kind of like feeling of humanism, like something people can relate to. It's not just all beeps and boops and Robo-Rob noises.
Robo-Rob noise. Do you, what are you saying, like, you grunt on the track sometimes?
Yeah, I do sometimes. Is that what disgruntled sex noises on my track. Sample that. And that's how I make my wubs.
I think we just gave you like the idea for your next like 3-part mix is just, you know, Robo Rob grunting during sex and then, you know, remixed into dubstep.
It'll be stupid. It'll be good.
I would listen to it. 10 out of 10.
Like in all these tracks, like I said, they were created like over like the tracks that were mostly about Earth. We're on Solaris Part 2, which came out last year. That album was entitled Terra, which is Earth in Latin. And then it kind of like goes back to Solaris Part 3, where that just dropped today. So the tracks are kind of all intermixed with each other, but each individual album kind of tells its own story if you listen to the tracks all in a row. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, as a listener, you were getting two things. One, you were getting like individual albums, you know, like 4 or 5 track albums with a couple of remixes on there from other artists that are remixing those songs, saying, you know, like if you listen to all 5 of these tracks, they kind of tell a story. They just tell a progression of what's going on by themselves. But then you take all 3 of them and you do the whole entire mix and you're getting the entire solar system, like the last. The last song that we end with is called Forget X, which is inspired by the fact that X, being the Roman numeral 10, which Pluto is the 10th planet, and for whatever reason, they've said, hey, just fucking forget about Pluto. You know, like, I don't know about you guys, but I always learned that Pluto was a planet. But that pissed me off when they were like, no, it's actually just a big rock. Okay, well, aren't all planets just a big rock, technically? Like, what are you doing?
Aren't we been all rocks at one point of our lives?
I'm a big rock right now.
And then, like, it also has a secondary meaning, you know? Like, for me, it was, like, forget X. Like, you don't have to do drugs to have a good time. You can have a good time by yourself. Drugs are great. If you want to do them, then do them, by all means. But you don't have to do drugs to have a good time. Forget about that. It's like,
so X won't give it to you.
No. Well, yeah, exactly.
What about moon drugs?
Moon rock?
Yeah, are those okay still?
I mean, if you're as long as you're a beta con, whatever. That's kind of like a brief synopsis of, you know, how the idea started, but where it finished, but. Like, as of today, being April 2015, it's been since, like late 2012 is when I got the idea and started work on Solaris Part 1. And now it's finally, it's finally coming to a close. And in retrospect, I feel like, it helped me a lot. Grow as a musician, but not only that, but like stay organic and like stay on and like have a goal. You know, like I set a goal that within those 3 years, I wanted to have all 3 albums out and it be one continuous journey. So it helped me a lot to like stay focused. In between then, I came out with like 2 other EPs that weren't Solaris and a bunch of like singles, like remixes and stuff. I put out like maybe 10 remixes over the past year or so. I'm always doing something, you know.
But. Well, I mean, speaking of always doing something, I know you're also, you know, like one of Nerdcore's like biggest producers too. So,
I would say I'm like upper tier B, lower tier A producer for Nerdcore.
But your name is on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I am producing a lot of beats for people on Nerdcore. Like, gotta give a shout out to Mayor Wirtz. He just put out a 3-track EP based off of Hotline Miami 2. And
oh, dang.
Yeah.
Nice.
So actually, no, I'm sorry. He dropped it when Hotline Miami 2 came out, but there are 3 tracks based off the first Hotline Miami, which in retrospect, if you played both of them, it's like the same thing, but
no, it's not.
It's not. See, I've barely played Hotline Miami 2. I played the demo for it. I haven't.
Then shut up.
I haven't played the first or the second one yet. But...
Well, I mean, the second one is kind of the same. Some new things happening and all that, yeah. But the music stays.
The music is. I think the music is better, but I prefer the first one more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did a bunch of beats for him, like where we sampled the music from Hotline Miami 1, and I like remixed it into a more like hip hop. Actually, only two of them were kind of hip hoppy. One of them was like straight up like dancehall banger. He just raps his heart out over them about like killing shit.
Well, I guess we need to check this out.
Yeah, it's really good.
you also have Crayon Droids with Beaker, who we've had on the show also, talking about IBM and being in technology, being in your head and stuff and all that. But you guys do a lot of remixes for that too together.
Yeah, we've done, they're all unofficial remixes because, you know, Prince doesn't like YouTube remix shit. But, there's Crayon Droids and, I had a small stint with Doc Ock where we were called New Natives, and we keep trying to go back, but we both have our own things going, so it's kind of like whenever we have free time, we work on stuff, but in the last 2 years, we've probably done, like, tracks together, so it's not going as well.
Yeah, that guy's a busy dude, too. So
he is a very busy man. He's very hard to get hold of.
And then, of course, you're part of the giant, like, nerdcore supergroup RPG unit.
Yeah, and so We had our Borderlands 2 album that dropped that got a lot of notice, and played that out. We're working on some new shit right now, so it's taken a while, but like that's the thing with big groups, you know. Like I'm still DJ Robo Rob, Darby is still working on Starby stuff, like and then like King Phoenix has his own stuff, Starp has his own stuff. IQ is putting out an Attack on Titan EP here real quick, so...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, like, everybody's doing shit, and so when we're like, let's get together and do stuff...
It just takes time.
It takes a while.
Yeah. So, you know, going back to Solaris, you know, I can tell you're a very big space fan.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge sci-fi nerd. Like, anything science fiction, pretty much...
You know, like speaking more about the planets and stuff like that, who's your favorite Sailor Scout?
I mean, probably have to go with Sailor Moon, obviously.
Oh.
I don't watch it. I don't watch that show that much. It's I've watched the newer one. I watched the old one a little bit, but I watched the newer one with Shelby a little bit, and it's good. It's just. Not my anime style, I guess.
No, the new one is crap compared to the old one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the animation is much better on the old one.
You think so?
It sounds bad, but yes. Toei did not do a good job of... Like, they blew their load on the first episode.
Yeah, I felt like a lot of shit was kind of, like, overdone. But...
All right, let's ask a real space question. So, who was the last man on the moon?
It's you, right? Because you know, Betacon, you had to go get everything set up.
No. We haven't gone to Betacon. We're just trusting, you know.
Yeah.
What people are telling us.
Yeah. So it's a.
You're not.
It's Andy Kaufman, right?
Yeah.
If you believe. They put a man on the moon.
Man on the moon.
I know. I mean, the last is Neil Armstrong. The whole crew.
No, the last guy to set foot on the moon was Gene Cernan. I only know because I have his autograph and I got to meet him. So
that's cool. Yeah, it's like, I didn't know that.
But no, I've been enjoying Solaris. I have the other two ones. I'm about to pick up Solaris 3 so I can actually insert these songs in there, because I'm not just going to like go to Bandcamp and use like a Bandcamp ripper and just take everything out of there for us.
Or you could just, you know, spend less than it costs to go out to lunch one time on my album.
I'm not going. That's why I said I'm going to pick it up right now instead of. I bought all your other albums.
No, you have. You guys have been super supportive. Like, I love it, dude. Every time I come to Houston, you guys are like, might be an awesome fucking like 100 people and a stellar sound system, or we might throw you in a cat pissy basement, but you're going to play shit.
Yeah, like that house show. That was awesome.
Yep. That was crazy, dude. Like the whole setup. But you had us playing out of like a half stack Marshall amp, and then like that room, that tiny room was like crowded with people. There were people going in and out. Everybody was drunk as hell. Like it was, that was a crazy night.
And it was like basically no shirts allowed in like, when you were playing.
It was so good.
I don't know what it is about my music that makes dudes want to take their shirts off and get sweaty. Like I don't understand, but it happens every time.
All right, next time Robo Rob comes to town, we will throw a no shirts allowed party.
I'll be there in July.
Oh, sweet. Well, there you go. So in July, we're going to throw a no shirts allowed party.
No shirts.
And we're not going to be at like a house place. Let's, I don't know, we'll maybe hit up Avant Garden or something and do it there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's so much sweaty stuff in July.
Yeah.
I think that's about the
sweat core.
I was like, that was the time I toured out there, right? Like 2 years ago, I played at Avant Garden.
Yeah, I believe so. And then I gave you a bottle of whiskey, and you were disappeared for half the night with that bottle of whiskey to make love to it or something. I don't know.
I don't even remember what happened. Like, I had to get a cab and back to the hotel that night, and then like, have someone picked me up in the morning. And from the hotel and took me back to my car.
Oh my god.
I don't even.
Like, we didn't do it. So exactly. So who was phone?
So yeah, crazy nerdcore adventures when we throw in a party, but you heard it here first. Rob will probably be back in July. Gonna throw a big crazy shindig for him and all that. And don't forget to pick up.
Playing Crandroids.
We got to.
I know I talked to you a little bit about that earlier, but we'll just figure something. Even if I just come down as Robo Rob, I want to.
Yeah, we got to figure something out for that. So, and then once again, you can pick up Solaris 1 and 2 for $1, and then 3 is on sale today, and that's at djroborob.bandcamp.com. And Rob, go ahead and be a social media whore. Give out whatever information you want right now. You have 10 seconds.
Basically, if you go to Google, type in DJ Roborob, and you can find my SoundCloud, Bandcamp, and Facebook page.
Man, he actually used like 10 seconds. That's awesome.
Nice.
If you don't know how to Google, then I don't know why you're listening to this show.
He also look at Roborob on RedTube.
Yes, do that. See what happens.
And thanks again for joining us. I know normally we talk to Rob on Fridays. He's part of like our little Friday night gaming squad. If you guys ever want to join us, drop us a line at the Space City Nerd Facebook page, and we'll fill you in on what you need to do to be a part of our gaming squad. So thanks again. I hope Solaris 3 does really well. I know like before I got on this show and while I was preparing everything, I was listening to you mix it live. Amazing, amazing show. And I know, like, it took us a long time to get you on here because you were like, I'm too busy whoring out my album. Sorry.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy. Like Mixify has the hype system, right? So the more hypes you get, the higher up you go on their main page, which means the more promo you get, people come in. So I had people coming in that were like, I don't know who this is, but this is really cool. I'm like, you should go buy my album. It just came out today. It did. So I was like, I can't stop playing Jesus. I'm sorry. I got to keep making money so I can pay rent.
And so Rob actually went platinum in nerdcore terms, which is 10 albums sold. So congratulations, Rob. Everybody give him a little round of applause.
Much rejoicing.
But thanks again, man, and we'll talk to you on Friday. Remember, Google DJ Robo Rob and you'll find him somewhere. We're going to go ahead and leave you guys with another one of his tracks from Solaris 3. This is Colors, and we'll be right back to finish off the show. So that was Colors from, spelled like a British person, Colours.
Colour?
Like... Colours.
Colours.
Yeah, that's a funny word. But anyways.
Them British.
That's off of Rob Solaris 3, who we just interviewed. Once again, you can find his stuff at djroborob.bandcamp.com. And the first two parts to Solaris are also $1 right now. So, you know, you can be a big baller and spend $8 and get three really good albums worth of music. And so we've been talking a lot about movies and, like, events and festivals and anime. We haven't gotten back to kind of the roots of the show, which is gaming. What have you guys been playing for the last week, Rex?
Well, Mortal Kombat came out and I didn't get it, but I have been playing the hell out of the Mortal Kombat iOS game.
Well,
that came out,
okay.
That's free to play. You can actually link it up with the console ones too and unlock stuff.
Weird.
But, yeah, so I've been playing that and that's been pretty fun, but mostly...
How do you play it?
You tap on the screen a lot and sometimes swipe. It's really simple. The graphics are really good, but it's really simple. And there's, like, cards you collect that are the different characters and stuff. And it's typical, like, free-to-play mobile game. It's been good for, like, killing time at work and stuff, though. But mostly I've been playing GTA 5 on PC and failing horribly in the multiplayer. Oh, my God. So, like, I didn't realize... That, because I never touched the online when they announced the PC one. By that point, I was mostly done with the story and hadn't messed with the online at all on the PS3 one. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to hold off on this till the PC version comes out. But you can transfer your characters over from any of the console ones to the PC one.
Oh.
So as soon as I hopped on online, like, it was pretty much like everybody was, like, level 20 or 30. So,
oh,
and
God.
Not so Shit. Lots of really fun, exciting things have been happening, such as I've been robbing the convenience stores, like, around the game world to just kind of try and get, like, extra money and level up quickly.
Yeah.
And you don't get that much money, but I mean, it works, and it's a real quick thing to do, like, in between, like, multiplayer matches and stuff. So, like, I've been, like, knocking off the convenience stores, and you have to shout into the mic, like, when you're robbing them to like, make them
Give
go faster, phone. But, yeah, like, pretty much like that, but, like, the other players will hear you, like, through the chat channel, so everybody knows you're robbing this bank, so, of course, like, I'll be robbing a bank, and all of a sudden, or not a bank, but, like, a convenience store or something, and all of a sudden, I'll be swarmed by, like, these level 30 guys, and, oh, fuck, there we go, and then when it spawns you, like, very close to where you died, so the other day, I got trapped by this guy who, he was, like, level 30, and had a sniper rifle, and we were, like, out in, like, the middle of Boone County, and he got, like, on this really high ledge, and every time I'd spawn, he'd kill me over and over for, like, 20 minutes. I finally wound up, it spawned me in a different place, finally, that was closer to my vehicle, and I got in my vehicle, started driving away, noticed that he was following me, so I did a U-turn real quick, and I was like, I'm in a car, I'm a little bit safer.
Same thing I do when someone's following me.
Yeah, I turned around and I started, like, gunning for him. He starts shooting. I start swerving to avoid his bullets. I hit him. He rolls on the top of my car, not dead. So I, like, back up real quick and kind of, like, launch him off. And then I rolled over him and he still wasn't dead. So I just parked the car and he couldn't spawn again and it counted as a kill. And that was pretty cool. And then I haven't really played online much after that. I think that was Sunday night that happened.
That's intense.
Sunday or Saturday.
Oh, man.
That's what I've been doing. It's really pretty, though. If you haven't played GTA 5 yet, or even if you have, like, I definitely recommend checking it out on PC because it's a completely different ballgame playing it in 60 frames per second with prettier graphics.
You need a really good PC for that, don't you?
Not necessarily. I'm running, like, granted my processor is beefy as hell. I've got the 8-core AMD processor that came out last year, or, like, 2 years ago. I don't remember, but I have that. So my processor is really beefy, but my video card is only a 270X with 2 gigs of RAM, and I'm still, like, I'm not playing with everything maxed to high, but most of everything is maxed to high. And I've only had frame dips down to the 50s, mid-40s, like, out in the countryside. So, and I've only had one crash the entire game.
Well, I can't wait to get my...
How many gigs of RAM do you have?
16. So that might be the other thing. And it actually does use all 16 gigs, which is the first game I've ever played that you even came close to it.
I have 8, so I might struggle a little bit.
Yeah. My video card died, like, horribly a week ago, and so I'm RMAing my card right now. So I had to switch out from, like, a R9 290 with 4 gigs, so, I mean, that's a pretty decent card.
Yeah.
I had to switch out and go back to a 540. I know, I can't play anything, really, I can't play anything because it doesn't look as well anymore. I'm just sad when I see it.
Yeah.
So like when we were playing Orion the other night, you weren't getting the experience you hoped to get.
The rain looked really crappy. Like, just things weren't as good. I was very depressed. So instead I've been playing Pokemon Shuffle. I don't know why, but it's a free game on the 3DS, and it's basically Nintendo's answer to Candy Crush.
Is it the Pokemon Tropesy?
It's basically that, but it's
a whole new one?
Yeah.
They send it to you. You're forced to have it.
Yeah.
Good.
And so it's basically like, you know, connect 4 heads and then blah, 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 and whatever.
Because that's what Pokemon Tropesy was. You had to do max, like, match them out, and then they all, like... you had a timer, and then you had, like, Pokemon would come down and, dickle things to you.
But it's really cool. Like, it has a... You know, you have to match up whatever their weaknesses are. You have to...
Yeah, that's how...
But then they also have, like, online events. So you can find, like, the legendary Pokemon and stuff, and...
Have to do it, because it had, like, a map on it, right? You went across the region, and you could find certain types of Pokemon.
And it's not even a map. It's just, like, a singular line that shows you, like, you know, once you beat something, I think I'm on, like, level 80 right now on it. And then you have to wait, like, 2.5 hours to get 5 hearts.
Sorry.
Yeah, unless you want to, like, buy stuff. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how they make the money. It's free, but, hey, you want to keep playing kind of thing. It's entertaining for what it is, for something quick and all that. And I haven't had time to really play except for when we do, like, our gaming on Friday. So, oh, God, I shudder to think how, like, Dragon Ball Xenoverse is going to be when I go back on.
Yeah.
Anyways, Katie, you've been playing something, and I got a code for it now. So I'm probably going to try it out since it...
I've been playing Heroes of the Storm a lot lately. I've had it forever, but I just... started playing it, and then I just got really into it, and that's all.
How does that compare to, like, League or Dota?
It's basically the same thing.
I think it's better only because I just associate with the characters more, and, like, I don't know any of, like, the League characters or anything, like, so I really just don't give a shit about them, but it's really cool.
You don't know Jinx, like, and Licky Thing and Hammer Girl, Teemo. And Tim Tebow, you don't know about Tim Tebow in League of Legends.
Tim Tebow is my favorite League of Legends. That, like, Neil attack he has such a good, like, oh man, DPS.
It gets rid of all the mobs, yes.
It's, like, they give you free characters, they rotate free characters out every week. I have a couple that I bought, like, a lot of gold, but...
Well, no, I mean, I played a little bit. The whole thing is exactly like any other MOBA.
Yeah, but it plays exactly like the other one.
It's like Katie,
which
I know you're
cool because, you know, you don't want anything, like, wacky where, you know.
I would weird. I know I would like something wacky, something that's, like, out of the ordinary.
But what's when it comes. So we can good play about the it is King of like Fighters, the jokes and stuff they talk about to each other, and, like, if you play a character that's from the same franchise, then, like, they'll make, like, jokes to each other about shit, like, you know. So that's cool, like that.
Like, you can be like artists and. Sylvanas Windrunner, I'm like, oh my god, it's your fault.
Yeah,
that I'm
they
zombie.
Talk shit to each other when they're on the same team. Because I play Sylvanas, and when somebody plays Arthur, they just Arthas, they just talk shit.
Oh my god, you don't know, you're such a fake.
Or you kill somebody too. It's funny. But
are there like any like arenas where you do like an ERP while you're playing?
No, but I guess you could strike up some ERP. The maps all have a different like. Objective, Like, one is you gotta get all these coins and give them to a pirate so he can, like, bombard their base. And that another one is you gotta go kill monsters and get, like, seeds to spawn these, like, monsters you can control to go and crash their walls down.
Sounds like a casino game. Yeah. Can you spend money in this?
Yes.
Okay.
So Nova, the StarCraft...
Oh, yeah.
She finally is in a game where she's playable.
Holy crap. Yeah, no, but she's really cool, too. And, like, Raynor's in it and Kerrigan's in it.
Yeah. So would Draenor be like, hey, you're never really in a game. You just got canceled. Aw.
Yeah, when I play Kerrigan, sometimes there's dudes that play, like, Raynor. And, like, if we're on the same team and I'm just getting, like, my ass kicked, she's like, Jim!
It's funny, we gave Rebel Rob a beta key the other day, and he's been playing it a lot too, so...
Really?
Yeah, I see it on, because we play on Curse, and on Curse you can see what game they're playing, and yeah, yeah. He's always on Heroes of the Storm.
Really, like, I just, what I like is, okay, so they have the free rotation characters, right? If you get them up to at least level 5, you get 500 gold. So, that's only, like, maybe one or two co-op games, and co-ops is with you... versus the AI, so it's you and a bunch of people versus the AI, which you're like, okay, AI might not be that hard, but their AI is pretty aggressive. But anyways, like, you can try out, that's how they, I guess, let you try out characters that are in their rotation, and you can play them for a week.
That's how League of Legends did it.
Yeah, but what I found was that, like, there wasn't a character that I hated playing, because when I started getting into it and, like, their abilities and stuff like that, it was just, ended up being a lot more enjoyable than I thought it was going to be. So I never really had a character I was just like, God, this is awful.
Kitty, if they made a Pokemon mobile, you would be saying the same thing.
Yeah.
So
the UI is great. So is the music and...
I guess someone that's a Blizzard fan would really enjoy this one.
Hold up.
I mean, my friend who plays League is like, he's like, I think it's okay. I think League is better.
Hold up. Is there a Lost Vikings character?
Yes.
Okay. Oh my God.
Lost Vikings are in it.
All right. Game of the year.
Yeah.
I guess.
GOTY of 2015.
Wait,
it's three of them. They're the hardest ones to control. You have to multi-manage all three of them.
Whoa!
What?
Yep. You can send them across different parts of the map, and or you can keep them together. But yeah, you can. It's all three of the Lost Vikings.
I guess we're gonna do that for Friday Night Gaming.
Yep.
There's also Diablos in it.
Okay.
Yeah. Asmodan is in it.
Is Blackthorn in it?
Yeah, I was about to ask that too.
No.
There's a guy with a shotgun in it.
But you know what? There's like 20 empty slots right now. So, I mean, they're going to be adding a shit ton.
If Blackthorn is in it and RPM Racing is in it, then I am on.
I think they are going to do like one of the things from like the car, the Rock and Roll Racing.
Yeah.
I think they are going to add like one of the cars in there because they have Sergeant Hammer from StarCraft in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what would be amazing?
Who? Mm.
The WoW player from South Park.
They talked about that. They did. They were just, they talked about that.
Oh, like, God, if that makes sense.
Having the South Park dude. Who else do they have? Bunch of StarCraft people.
Like, so Katie gives it a thumbs up, right?
Yep, thumbs up. But
we're going to go ahead and try it on Friday, see what happens. And again, do you have any more?
Nah, but if you have a Battle.net account, you can try to see if they already added it on your account.
Oh, okay.
But I'm out of beta keys. I gave them all to you.
You gave me one.
The other three should have worked because I only...
We only used one. And then I already had one, so the other two can go to Rex and Ryan then.
Yeah.
Yay.
Okay.
Alright, I can play as Lost Viking. But if they don't have Blackthorn in it. If they have Blackthorn in it, that is like game of the decade.
Yeah.
Just walking around and one of his moves has to be shooting the shotgun with one hand right behind him. That is the move.
Pretty, what is the free rotation this weekend? Oh, Kerrigan, Tychus, Illidan, Nazebo, ETC, Lili, and Arthas.
I have no idea who those people are.
Most of them are from Warcraft.
They're a mix. only one Diablo character, two StarCraft, and the rest are WoW. But they give you, like, daily quests, like, play three games as a WoW character, or play three games as an assassin, or, you know.
All right, it's not been announced, but he said, as of December 2014, there are concept art for Blackthorn for Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, boy.
Ryan's all, like, pumped about this.
Yes, because I'm going to fucking shotgun Diablo in the face. While Diablo's behind me.
It's just like going out and just like, here's some random ass person from, you know, wherever your game, and you're just blowing them the fuck up. Play some bosses a lot. I mean, I just like it better than League. League had a bad community, so it was just like...
Don't worry, it's going to get bad as soon as it goes.
Oh, I'm sure. There's people in there that are looking for like the co-op games, like versus the AI, and they're just like, just push the fucking, you know, push the fucking bases, and like they don't have any of that like stupid like purchase, you know, equipment like whenever you level up either. Like they just give you your talents and you choose them. Because I know League and Smite had like you had to go to the shop right in the beginning when you started, and like, you know, get boots or some shit.
So Katie agrees with it. We'll try it on Friday. Maybe we'll talk about it next week if we like it or not. I guess. Yeah.
It looks great too. So.
It looks like cartoons, but Brian, what have you been playing?
So last week I bought two games. I bought Bloodborne and Mortal Kombat 10. I haven't opened Bloodborne yet, but Mortal Kombat X, it's awesome. I'm a huge fan of Mortal Kombat. I played a shit ton of Mortal Kombat 9, and then I immediately played the story mode.
Yeah, what's the story now?
So the story is the first part takes place right after Shao Kahn is dead, and then you have to hunt down like what's his name, Quan Chi, because Shinnok, the elder god who wants to destroy Earthrealm. I don't know what's so good about Earthrealm. Anyway,
we have Starbucks.
That's true. And he was he was trying to take it over, but then what happened is they got the gem or whatever, so they imprisoned him. 18 years later, Quan Chi and a bunch of revenants, which basically all the people who've died in Mortal Kombat 9 are back as zombies. They're revenants. So Liu Kang, Jax. Well, actually, Jax became.
Wait, I haven't played Mortal Kombat 9. Thank you for the spoiler.
My bad. it's a fighting game. So they go on and so they have a new crew now, which is Cassie Cage, which is the daughter of Sonya, and Sonya and Johnny Cage.
Oh, man,
Takeshi Takada. Oh yeah, not blind Kenshi. He's the son of Kenshi. So he has like whip hands and swords. And then there's Kung Jin, which is the cousin of Kung Lao, and Jackie Briggs, who is and then Jackie Briggs, who is the whatchamacallit? Forgot Jax's what her name is. Jax's daughter. Anyway, yeah. Those are the four main people that they follow, and they basically what happens, Shinnok is comes back, and then they fight them and they win. But I like it because like Injustice and like Mortal Kombat 9, you go and you play different characters, and then the story goes kind of like a fighting soap opera. What's really cool about it though, it looks like they actually have like martial arts sequences where it's a bunch of QTEs, but the fighting looks actually really good. It's not the cinematics of the fighting look really good, so I like that a lot. Also, since they have cross generational fighters, it's really awesome to play the game and have Johnny Cage rip Cassie apart after finishing her because it's hilarious. Yes, it's like, you're my daughter, I'm gonna rip you into shreds. I thought that was hilarious.
And then, but everything else is, you know, as expected.
Yeah, I suspect that they brought the environmental attacks like they have in Injustice, where you can grab like stuff from the background and throw it at people or like jump over things. And so one of the stages, you're in a temple and there's a bunch of monks worship like praying, and you can grab one of the monks and throw it to the other guy.
Oh, and it'll
damage them. It's hilarious. But yeah, so they have that, and they have brutalities are back, but I've yet to figure out how to do them. They're very complicated. People don't know, brutalities are like they're like ultimate combos in Killer Instinct. They're combos that end up into a fatality.
Ah, oh jeez, that's crazy. Yeah. And that's from the crypt, though, that you have to get them, right?
Yeah, you gotta go to the crypt. I have not yet confirmed that the crypt does not have a jump scare. Like the damn, in Mortal Kombat 9, they had a jump scare. I don't know if y'all know this, but you walk around the crypt, and then this demon goes, ah! And then for no reason, just to be like, to scare me at 2 a.m. while I'm playing Mortal Kombat 9 in my tiny apartment. But
no,
but it's cool. I reckon I like it a lot. I like Mortal Kombat. It's very stiff. The fighting for Mortal Kombat is not up to par, I guess, like Street Fighter, but it's a very fluid, very great feel for the fighting. But Mortal Kombat's always been a little bit stiff, but once you kind of get into it, it feels faster, and it's cool. Character designs are kind of meh, though, but whatever. You're there for the gore.
I'm going to have to go to your house and check it out before I buy it, pick it up or anything.
Yeah. Perfect. I have two controllers.
That was our gaming whatever section of that, what we've been playing and stuff. And now on to a very important announcement. please give yourself a round of applause, guys. We have been accepted under Comic Palooza's podcast partnership program.
Yay!
So you guys, I know we're celebrating. You guys are like, what does that mean? So that means we get to do really cool stuff with Comic Palooza. We're going to have a live show at Comic Palooza. We're going to be trying to get some Comic Palooza guests to be on the show for the month of May. Basically, we will shove Comic Palooza down your throat and you're going to like it. mainly because it's a good show that's coming up. Like, I'm very happy.
All the people that are announcing, I'm like, what? They just announced Deanna Troi from...
Yeah.
From the Next Generation, and I'm just like, what?
Yeah, I'm just amazed by that, the guest list so far. And it covers a lot of aspects of nerddom. I mean, they have Marky Ramone coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there are a ton of music nerds, so that makes sense, you know. I mean, aside from interviews, from us being on the floor live doing a show, which we hope you'll be around and you can heckle us and catcall us if you'd like.
Also, if Jeremy Renner, if you want to come and catcall at us, I am totally okay with that.
So, that also means one more thing. We have giveaways. So listen in, and we'll have passes to Comic Palooza to give away, and some other passes that we will reveal shortly. But yes, congratulations to you guys, and
stay tuned like there's a freaking radio, but stay tuned, listeners. We'll have more for you.
Keep them streams open, eh?
Yeah.
Instead of staying tuned, keep the stream open, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Don't cross the stream.
Well, actually, this applies to all three shows on the Space City Nerd Network. So God Hates Comics, Warpod, and ourselves are going to be going to Comic Palooza, are going to be helping Comic Palooza promote and bring the best of Comic Palooza to you guys. So those giveaways also apply to them. So start listening to those guys. Also, if you're not, and you may get a chance to win some passes to the show.
Yeah, we want to see your best Kylie Jenner lips to get passes.
So more on that as it unfolds. We'll let you guys know exactly when we're doing giveaways and things like that. And you'll be hearing like a Comic Palooza commercial every week from us, done by Kyle Herbert, which is really cool. If you don't know him, check him out. We're going to try to get him on here and try to get him to do some voices for us. But other than that, I think we're going to call it quits. It's been a very long show this week. And on behalf of myself and Ryan, Rex, and Katie, good night, Space City.
Good night.
Japan.